Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about the three witnesses of man that determine whether or not he receives the mark of the beast. Of course, everyone recognizes the number of the beast is 666. Yet most people have very little comprehension of the underlying meaning of this number. Although Revelation 13:18 tells us that the number will only be comprehended by those with wisdom and understanding, most Christians seem to believe that the number 666 can be understood without spiritual understanding, and therefore they only see the number 666 at face value, just as non-Christians see it. Most current-day prophecy teachers consider the number 666 to be a branding, electronic barcode, or computer chip. But Revelation 13:18 indicates a need for wisdom and spiritual understanding in order to comprehend the meaning of the mark, number, or name of the beast. Therefore, we must go beyond the concept of a physical mark of 666 and see it as a spiritual concept which can be interpreted only with the help of the Holy Spirit. To interpret the mark of the beast in just the physical sense requires no wisdom or spiritual understanding at all. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, the number 666 can be understood. However, you must realize two important things. First, the three sixes represent the three-part nature of man. And second, the number six is connected with the sixth day of creation. Now, neither of these concepts can clearly be seen at face value. However, if we look beneath the surface of Scripture for the revealing knowledge through the Holy Spirit, we will see some things that are not clearly seen just by looking on the surface. First, let's look at Revelation 13, verse 18 once again. It reads, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Something that should be realized is that the original Greek for this passage of Scripture does not indicate that the number 666 is the number of a specific man. The original Greek just indicates mankind in general. 666 is not the number of a certain man, but it is the number of any man. Now, this brings up an interesting concept, which is also a very important one. When this verse tells us that the number 666 is the number of man, we should realize that anyone who comes to the judgment seat of Christ as a man will suffer the second death. The second death is an eternal death, and every man who has not been born again in spirit will suffer this second death. And you might ask me the question, "Randy, I'm a man. Are you saying that my number would be 666 automatically because I'm a man?" The answer is yes, it would. If you stand one day before Christ as a man of flesh, you will be subject to the second death, and this eternal death will be your reward. You see, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you actually cease at that time to be a man. At the time you accept Jesus Christ, you are born again. You become a born-again spirit man. Although you are still encumbered with the body of flesh, you are no longer a man, but are born again in spirit and therefore have become a son of God. God is a spirit, and sons of God are not flesh and blood, but they are also spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:50 tells us that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Mankind cannot inherit eternal life without the spiritual death of the body and being born again in spirit. Unless we are born of the Spirit, and become sons of God, we are still flesh and blood. All flesh and blood will receive the mark of Satan's ownership, 666. Satan owns everyone who chooses the life of the flesh rather than the life in the Spirit. Let me read John 3, verses 1 through 6. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.'" 666 is the number of a man. If you serve Satan, you will be marked as belonging to him. The only hope you have is to be born again in spirit and enter into God's rest. And entering into God's rest does not happen unless you accept Jesus Christ as the atonement for your sins. And here's something which is important. On the last day of God's creation work, the sixth day, God created man and animals. Then notice that on the seventh day, God did not create anything. What God did on the seventh day was to cease from his own works. And no, God did not rest in the sense of recuperating from a strenuous workout, but what he did was to cease his work of creation. It doesn't take much to comprehend that God does not get tired. If Christians could keep this one very basic concept in mind, that an almighty God does not get tired, then they can more easily comprehend that what God did on the seventh day was not to rest up, but rather was to cease working. God did not rest from being tired, but rather rested in the sense of stopping his work. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 1 through 10 explain the importance of entering God's rest, and also explain that the Israelites did not enter into it. They did enter into a physical rest, but they did not enter into God's rest. God's rest was not rest from physical labor, but a ceasing from doing his own works. God's rest cannot be entered into by physical relaxation. In verse 10, we see what must happen in order for a man to enter God's rest. Verse 10 says, "For he who has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Notice that this verse specifically says that a man, in order to enter into God's rest, must cease from his own works in the same way that God ceased from his works. God did not cease work to rest up, but he ceased trying to accomplish anything else. God created the earth and everything that was in it in 6 days. Everything was set in order by God by the end of the sixth day. God did not have to go back and recreate or reorganize the world. On the sixth day, God finished the work of creating this earth and putting into motion everything that would come to pass from that day until the last day of his plan. From the sixth day of creation to the day that a new heaven and new earth is established on this earth, everything has been created and planned out by God. God did not need to continue his work after the sixth day, for he had finished his work. Mankind must realize that the Sabbath rest of God can only be comprehended and entered into through Jesus Christ. We can struggle through our whole lives to accomplish the goal of righteousness, but we will never accomplish it by our own works. It is only when we finally throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus and accept his free gift of righteousness that we can ever attain salvation. the Sabbath rest of God is only entered into by ceasing from our own endeavors to attain righteousness by our own might and power. When we accept Jesus as the atonement for our sins, we recognize that it is only by his death and resurrection that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. When we finally realize that we cannot overcome sin and finally recognize that Jesus is the only way to save our souls, and we accept him as Lord and Savior, then and only then will we have entered God's rest. We will have entered God's rest because we have ceased trying to accomplish it by our own works of righteousness. We're not resting up from physically being tired, but we are ceasing from our own striving toward righteousness. God's rest is the recognition and acceptance that we cannot attain righteousness in our own strength. God's rest is the acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. The Law of Commandments was given to the children of Israel in order to show the world that no matter how hard a man strove to be righteous, they would fail. And as part of this covenant of the law, the physical rest of the Israelites acted as a foreshadowing for the real Sabbath rest, that of ceasing from our own work of trying to attain righteousness, and instead receiving the free gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ. Now, in referring again to the number 6, try to recognize that the number 6 is a reference to a creation of the sixth day. Any sixth day creation is just a man and has not made the transition to the seventh day rest of God by being born again. All those who remain as sixth day creations will be lost. They cannot be saved except through Jesus Christ and by being born again in spirit. If they have not become born again in spirit, then they will remain a man, a creation of the sixth day, and will still be flesh and blood beings. Satan owns every person who does not accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Mankind is in bondage to the devil unless they have Jesus Christ. And if they are in bondage to the devil, then they will be designated spiritually with the devil's mark, name, or number in their forehead or right hand. Mankind will not be able to receive God's name in their forehead until they have entered into God's rest by ceasing from their own attempt at righteousness and receiving righteousness instead by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Now, the next question is, why are there 3 sixes in Satan's mark instead of just one? The answer to this is that it takes 3 sixes to represent all 3 parts of man, the body, the soul, and the spirit. These 3 parts of man are equivalent to the 3 parts of God. We are made in his image, and therefore we have a soul. We exist. We are a living being. The soul is who we really are. And because the soul is who you really are, it controls your body and your spirit. Your body does not control you, but you control it. And although you are moved by many emotions, it is you who controls your spirit. Your base of knowledge, your understanding of things, your perceptions of life, all these contribute to how you will direct your body to act and speak. Because of these perceptions of life, because of your belief system, you will control the spirit within you and also the words and actions of your body. If it were any other way, your body and spirit would get out of control. But it is your thoughts and perceptions, your mind, that your spirit and body receive direction from. Now, think about the concept of the image of the beast and of its mark, name, or number. We can easily realize that if you have the mark, name, or number of the beast, you will have the mark, name, or number which is attributed to evil. It is attributed to Satan. When you have the mark, name, or number, you are doomed. When you have the number of the beast, 666, in your forehead or right hand, it is just designating who you belong to. There is no way that a person can have Satan's mark, number, or name, and still consider themselves to be a child of God. Because we readily understand that we are lost souls unless we have the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we can also understand that until we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we still belong to Satan. Until we enter into God's rest by accepting Jesus Christ as our victory over sin, we are doomed to eternal destruction from the presence of the Lord. Entering into God's rest through Jesus Christ and ceasing from our own attempt at righteousness will bring about our born-again experience. We will become a new creature in Jesus Christ. We will no longer be subject to Satan's mark in our forehead or right hand, but we will have the name of God written in our forehead. But those who are not born again, those who have not entered into God's rest, will still be subject to the mark of Satan. The reason there are three sixes instead of just one is because each six represents the status of the three parts of mankind's evil nature. There is a six for the man's soul, and a six for the man's body, and a six for the man's spirit. The reason that each part of wicked man is individually designated with a six is because the three parts of man give individual testimony, which is in opposition to each other. Yes, I know, this is a difficult concept, but let me explain this. Humans can lie. They can say one thing with their mouth, but have other intentions in their heart. They can be thinking one thing, but act or speak in a completely different manner. We know that we do not always allow the emotions of our spirit to show outwardly. We know that we humans can even demonstrate a spirit of love on the outside when we are actually angry on the inside. Who you really are down deep inside is not always demonstrated outwardly by your body. And in the same manner, we can realize that there are people who profess to be Christians with their mouth, but don't really have Jesus in their hearts. These people present one thing on the outside, but the spirit that moves them is not the Holy Spirit of God, but rather the spirit of evil. Sometimes people openly reject God. Sometimes they refuse to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they do not attempt to pretend they are Christians. When we see these people, it is not too difficult to see that the spirit within them is not holy, and that the actions and words we see and hear are definitely not in praise of God. When this happens, when people openly reject Jesus Christ, when they openly reject God, we know that their spirit testifies of evil. Their body testifies of evil, and therefore we know that their soul, that deep hidden part of them, is also evil. Therefore, these people have not entered into God's rest through Jesus Christ. Therefore, each triune part of them, their body, soul, and spirit, are still designated with the mark of Satan, a six. Their body has not entered into God's rest, and therefore it remains designated with a six, just as it was created on the sixth day of creation. Their spirit has not entered into God's rest, and therefore it remains designated with a six, just as it was created on the sixth day of creation. And because both the body and spirit of the man testify of the evilness, then what is in the heart of that man is also known to be evil. Therefore, the heart of the man has not entered into God's rest either. A six is also then attributed to the man's soul. Each part of this man is designated with a six, and these three parts of man have given their final testimony. Together, they make up the number 666, and this number is spiritually stamped in their forehead. It is very similar for others who reject Jesus Christ, but who profess to be Christians on the outside. Although the man's body may present a spoken confession of Jesus Christ, this confession will be a false confession because the heart of the man is far from God. In addition, How the man is moved and what moves him will demonstrate what spirit is within the man. What we then have is a person who pretends to be a Christian, but whose spirit and heart are far from God. Because the spirit and heart testify to wickedness, even though the mouth of the body testifies of God, the man will still be condemned and will receive the mark of 666 in his right hand. There will be a 6 for the man's spirit, which has not entered into God's rest, and there will be a 6 for the man's heart, which has not entered into God's rest, and there will also be a 6 for the man's body, which, although it professes to have entered into God's rest, really hasn't.
We hope you're finding today's message interesting. If you would like a copy for your own use, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
The mark of the beast is assigned to the right hand of a man instead of in the forehead whenever the right hand shows that the confession of the man is false. The right hand does this by taking of the things of the world more than taking of the things of God. Although the man had presumably made a conscious decision for Jesus Christ, his right hand continually took that which was worldly and not godly. Just as a conscious decision to reject Jesus Christ is symbolized by the mark being put in the forehead, an unconscious decision of rejecting Jesus Christ is symbolized by the mark being put in the right hand, because the right hand has continually reached out for worldly things and has therefore revealed the true heart of that man. You see, many people profess with their lips to be followers of Jesus Christ, but continue to take of the world more than they take of the things of God. All you have to do to see what a person really is in their heart is to watch what their right hand is always reaching for. Is it reaching for heavenly things for the heart, or reaching for the dainty things of the world for the flesh? Now, here's some insight into why the right hand plays such an important part in the mark of the beast. Ecclesiastes 10:2 tells us that the heart of a wise man is at his right hand and not at his left. This means that the heart of a wise man is provided for by the dominant hand, by the hand which is the authoritative hand. The authoritative hand of a man is the hand which takes most often. And because the heart must be provided for much more than the flesh should be provided for, the right hand, which takes most often, should be used to provide for the heart and not the flesh. When a person professes to have made Jesus Christ Lord, but takes mostly those worldly things which stimulate the flesh instead of the heart, the person's true motive is revealed. It is the reaching out and taking mostly of worldly things that reveals what kind of heart and spirit they really have. Their actions of taking from the world more than taking from God have shown that they have not truly entered into God's rest and therefore have not died to the flesh. They must still receive the mark, number, or name of the beast. But in this instance, the mark of the beast is attributed to the right hand, indicating that it was not a conscious decision to follow after evil, but an unconscious one. The mark is not put in their forehead as it is for a person who consciously rejects Jesus Christ, but is put in their right hand because it is their right hand which clearly shows who they really are and what they really love. Now, I realize these are difficult concepts, but your soul is worth more than just accepting today's current teaching at face value. If you're just looking to be raptured before the mark of the beast comes, then you may be in a lot of trouble, for the mark of the beast is already here. If you have truly been born again in spirit and have put off this man of flesh and blood, then you have nothing to worry about. But if you're being deceived into thinking you are a Christian while you are still immersed in the things of this world, you will still be damned, even though you claim to be saved. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. To be truly born again in spirit is to also die to the flesh. You cannot live for the things of this world and still expect to inherit heaven.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 59, 3 6s. As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. We also have a website. You can find us there under the name preparationministries.net, .com, or .org. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.